All right, y'all. We are now being recorded. So welcome everyone to LH1 Live. Really excited you all are here. We have a great group tonight. And welcome to May 1st. So crazy. Happy May Day. I hope your neighbors all brought you flowers. I don't know if they do that anymore, but that sounds lovely. My name is Jessica Loomer. I am your host for tonight and flying solo since I have a surprise in store for this call and I'm really excited about it. But just a couple of housekeeping things quick. Then we will jump and talk conference for a hot second, and then we will jump to the surprise of the day. So this call is held every first Wednesday, and so welcome in. So glad you guys are here. And we'll actually, at the end of the call, we will go through all the calls that are happening for May. It is a jam-packed, super fun month and 1 month ahead of conference. So lots to kind of cover here. And this is the spiel that Annie normally does, so I feel like I'm pretty rusty at this. But as you know, like we're not experts on medical advice or employment advice or anything like that. So we can definitely try to steer you into the right direction and get you in contact with the right people. But this is a call that's honestly here for community and for us all to lean on each other, teach each other something, tips and tricks as we kind of navigate this journey together with LH1. So. Without further ado, I will leave us all unmuted just because I do want to kind of be able to create that conversation for later down the road post our guest speaker. But if you are in like a noisy area or near like doing dishes or having dinner, which is lovely, please make sure that you're muted. That'd be great. All right, Maria, let's chat conference for a second.
Let's see. Okay, unmuted. Yes. Okay. All right. Hello, everyone. This is Maria Johnson. I live in San Diego, California. I am also affected. I've been affected for 10 years, and I'm also the LHON conference chair. And so many of you see me on many of the Zoom calls, making my rounds since the end of last year, promoting all the information about this year's LH1 conference. And I'm back here to do it again. We are coming down. We're about 2 months away. So very exciting. So much going on right now. We're in the thick of it as far as planning and organizing. So let's get to some details here. Many of you have already been to a conference, so you're familiar with it. Some of you may not, and definitely want to make that time or opportunity for you to ask any questions if you want to, either after this call or the few minutes that we have here. So this year's conference is being held in Cleveland, Ohio. It's going to be held at the Hilton Downtown Cleveland, or Cleveland Down, I forget the name, Hilton Cleveland Downtown. And it's on June 27th through the 29th. Now that's a Thursday through a Saturday. The event will start at 1 o'clock on Thursday, and it will end around 4 o'clock on Saturday. Now, most people get in, will be getting in Thursday morning. If you kind of, get in somewhere in the afternoon, that's fine. We do have a meet and greet Thursday evening, which will be really fun to kind of be that icebreaker, meet some new friends, see who's come back for another year and reconnect into that evening. Friday and Saturday are full days of sessions. We do have a banquet on Friday night that everyone attends. The banquet will have a program that is being worked on right now, but it is really a fun evening of celebration, more networking time, and more kind of hanging out and having dinner with all our LH1 friends. All the links that you need to know or would need to use to register for the conference, to grab a hotel reservation, and also to see the current agenda is at lhon.org under the conference tab. Also, you'll find there is a link to view past conference recordings, which will give you a real taste and a flavor of what our conference is like. If you have any other questions at all, please feel free to tag on to one of my social media posts, which you'll see me do. I just did one today highlighting one of our sessions with Dr. Karandia, who is one of our very favorite doctors out of Canada. And he's going to be there doing several science sessions for us, which is super exciting. Other sessions we're going to be having, and I will be highlighting over the next coming weeks, are assistive tech talk with our own Sarah Nappi, exploring employment with LHON, with Jessica Loomer and Julie Poinsineau, presenting that session. We will also have our fan favorite, Living with LHON panel. We'll have community update. And again, various science panels. And we even have Navigating Mental Health with two really fantastic speakers put in there. So that's just to give you a little bit taste of it. I hope you, if you're on the fence and not sure about coming, I hope that you dive into the links that I've given you on social media, check it out, see what it's all about, take a look at our agenda. Again, I have said that the agenda could change. It's always subject to change. It's a moving puzzle. And, see if it's something that you'd like to work into your summer plans. We already have about 75 people registered, and it is growing every day. So it's super exciting to see the attendance growing. And any questions at all, please comment under any social media post. I will be pinged. I will try to get you the answer. And no questions too dumb, no questions too big, no questions too small. I'll try and get you answers as best that I can on anything you want to know. So from there, I try to do that really fast because Jessica said I didn't have much time. So anyway, hope to see many of you there. And if you've been before, I'd love to see your return.
Jessica, you're muted.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Maria. Can you guys hear me? Yes.
Yep.
Okay, perfect. Awesome. Thanks so much, Maria. And sorry for the speedy announcement, but thank you. That was fantastic. All right. Okay, so fun surprise. So I think one of the coolest things that I can say about LHON and vision loss and just all the things is honestly our community, right? Like we're all here for a reason. And it's to connect, and just because it's one of the places that we feel like we can, people totally understand us, people get us, and it's a place where we can lean on, ask questions, ask for help, and really be able to make new friendships, which is exactly just echoing everything that Maria said of conference. And so I have had one of the amazing opportunities to meet one of our guests or our guest speaker that's speaking for us tonight. And Jason, his name is Jason Romero. And gosh, there's so many words that I would use to describe him, but fantastic and wonderful is probably the top two. Just a wonderful friend of mine, and I met him through running. But I mean, running is definitely something that he's part of. But there's so much more to Jason. And so I was kind of chatting with him earlier, talking about being a guest speaker. And so I'm just super excited to be able to introduce him to you, to the LHON community, and for everyone to get to know him because he is just fantastic. So, Jason, without further ado, if you might don't mind jumping in, saying hello, introducing yourself, just as a quick kind of rundown of the call, we have about an hour that we stay recorded. To know Jason's so wonderful. He's actually at the airport at on a layover talking to us. So whatever time that you can chat with us, Jason is great. And then at the top of the hour, we do like to go off being recorded, just for anybody to ask any other questions that maybe they didn't want on a recorded line for future use. But so yeah, Jason, welcome. Hello. So glad you're here.
Sounds good. Thank you, Jessica. Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you great.
Okay, perfect. Number one, thank you so much for having me on here. And I really like being on the LHON call, but I go by acronyms, and I love your guys' acronym, LHON. It sounds like Parisian or European or something. I have an acronym of RP. My vision loss story is retinitis pigmentosa, so I end up with loss of peripheral eyesight. And with Leber's, there's a central vision loss. So I think if they paired you and me together, Jessica, we'd have one totally blind person, one person seeing just fine.
Perfect.
First and foremost, it was awesome to hear that y'all have a specific conference for LHON, and with RP we do have some different stuff, but I think it's phenomenal, and even just for folks with vision loss. So if you haven't attended a conference, I think those are phenomenal things to go to from a networking perspective. There's a lot of positive energy, and there's a lot of encouragement and good stories that are just inspirational. And, you know, from those conferences, I've met people and networked with people, and I reach out to them when I'm in a tough time, in a trough, because we all end up in those troughs in life. I give you a quick rundown of my story and can ask any questions you like. Just to back up, I'm a 54-year-old guy. I have three kids. I was married for 10 years, divorced, and recently got reengaged. I'm so excited about. I was diagnosed with RP at 14. And at that point in time, the doctor told me I'll be like totally lights out blind by the time I was 30. He told me most blind people didn't work and I should learn to do something with my hands. And that was kind of the prognosis at age 14, basically like give up. And thankfully I was a feisty teenager. I did not listen to adults at that time. Probably still don't listen to adults in my old age, 54, not even old yet. But I just went on with life, and I lived a fairly regular life. And kind of like with LHON, I call it somewhat of an invisible disability, because I look like I can see. And I know, you know, with Leber's, a lot of my friends who have Leber's, they look like they can see too. It's just when you're really there or attuning to, you know, the details, when we start running over little kids in airports or, you know, don't see specific things. but it's pretty confusing. And one of the things of my journey too, which I think that's, it's going to be similar with Leber's too, but there was a time period, you know, I didn't feel like explaining it all the time to people, like going through the, oh, you know, I can see, but I can't see this and that. I just wanted to get on with life or get where I was going. I didn't want it to have educational opportunities with the community all the time. Sometimes I did, but not all the time. And so what I chose to do really from age 14 to age 44, I just didn't tell anybody, and I pretended like I was sighted. And that was probably one of the most difficult things that I did. And I think I was, I was in a grieving process, and I was in the state of denial. There was a lot of sadness. There was a lot of anger. There was a lot of bargaining. There definitely was not acceptance in my journey up to that point. And I, you know, to give you an idea of how much in denial I was, I went through school, did not ask for accommodations. I went to undergraduate school. I went to law school. I worked for General Electric for 10 years. Was on an expatriate assignment in the Caribbean for six of those. Worked at Western Union, ran a nonprofit. And all the time when I was there, I wasn't telling anybody about my eye disease. And my fear was that, you know, nobody would give me a promotion or the next opportunity if they knew I was literally legally blind. And, you know, come to find out on the other end, actually, you know, it's happened to me since I've, quote, come out of the closet. At age 44, though, I couldn't hide it anymore. I used to get a driver's license, and I could never pass an eye test, but I would go to an eye doctor. They would give me a letter certifying that, you know, I could see, and I, you know, I did have light perception. And then what I was always required to do is take a driving test at the Department of Motor Vehicle with a person so they could test and see. And I could see stop signs. I can turn, see pedestrians, that type of thing. Well, age 44, I was in a car and at a four-way stop, just about ran over a family of four. And that's when I stopped driving. And that really changed my life. And at that point in time, I was divorced, had three kids, had lost my last, you know, great job, stopped driving. And I got a letter from the federal government that said I was permanently and totally disabled because of my eyesight. And that caused me to spiral into a depression. And it was severe, and it just went on and on and on. And, you know, you have really dark thoughts. And I had those very, very dark, dark thoughts. I didn't know how I was going to be able to go on. And it was like that bleak prognosis at age 14 just came up. Like this nemesis that I'd been fighting for 30 years, it was finally like, it finally, you know, had its foot on my throat. And it was just getting darker and darker. Well, That's a crazy part of my story. And in the midst of that depression, I felt like I received a calling from outside of myself. And the calling that I had received was to run across the United States. And yeah, it's insane. And as I look back at it, it does seem insane because a person who's having suicidal thoughts all of a sudden, in the snap of a finger, decides, I'm going to run, from Pacific Coast to Atlantic. To the Atlantic Ocean, it just doesn't make sense. But that's what happened in my life, and I accepted the calling, and thank God I did, because without it, I probably wouldn't be here, and the spiral would have continued. But that began a journey, and basically, I trained for 18 months and figured out how I would do this expedition. And at the end of 18 months, I took off. And that was in 2016. I left Santa Monica Pier in Los Angeles, California. And 60 days later, I arrived at New York City Hall, and I had ran 51 and a half miles a day, just under two marathons every day for 60 days. And it was the seventh fastest crossing in history, first ever by a blind person. And less than 400 people ever crossed on foot. Records go back to the 1800s. But that was, that was an interesting piece of my journey. And what was crazy was when I got to New York, I thought that, if this was a calling from God, I was like, God, this would be awesome. Like if I survive, if I just survive, like don't get killed by a semi or something like that out there. If I make it to New York City Hall, maybe God will heal me and like poof, I'll be able to see again and I'll go back to quote my normal life. And go back to work and, be able to provide for my kids the way that I wanted to and that type of thing. Well, didn't happen like I was, quote, expecting or wanting. My eyes actually got worse as a result of the run. And I remember my mom was my sag wagon as I crossed the U.S. She drove the supplies. But it took us 3 days to drive from New York back to Denver, Colorado. That's where I live. And I remember on the way back, I was just dreading getting back home. Because all I remembered was in my home and in my bedroom, that's where that depression was. And I wasn't depressed when I got to New York, but I had feared that when I got back to Denver in my home, that the depression was just going to come right back. And I did not know how I was going to survive this time. And when I got back to, Denver, my kids were there. That was a real uptick because I was wonderful. It's a big reason, why I do everything and anything. And, all of a sudden, I got back to Denver before the depression returned. I had started getting calls from companies in different places to speak and to tell my story. And I remember the first time I got the call, I'm like, "What story do you want me to tell?" And like the run, like tell us about the run. I was like, "I don't know. Like I ran from Los Angeles to New York, but there are a lot of details, and they wanted to know." And that began, I guess, now an 8-year career and. I became a motivational speaker, wrote a couple books, ran a bunch of races and stuff. But and I don't think, my story is anything extraordinary or different than anybody else's because I think at the end of the day, we all go through struggles. And that's what I've realized in getting up on stages and sharing with people and kind of talking about this stuff is what's really inspiring, I think, in all of our lives is the fact that we all go through very difficult times, I mean, I'm on an LHON call. That's definitely one struggle in each of your lives. There's other things that we struggle with as well. We lose people we care about, we lose relationships, we lose jobs, there's a whole bunch of different stuff, but there's also some really extraordinary things. And that was something that I was sharing today with an audience in Lansing, Michigan. And part of that, as I was sharing with them, it just, it occurred to me, life is nothing but a series of changing circumstances. And the fact is, when things are going great in life, it's awesome. The view's great from up there, and enjoy it because you're not always going to be up on top in that state of comfort. At some point, it is bound to change and things will go down and get worse. And when you feel like you're at rock bottom and the weight of the world is on your shoulders and all you can see is dark, just be patient and just keep going because eventually you will see the light and things will get better. And that is really what life is a series of changes in your life of ups and downs, and that taken together, summed up, is a absolutely beautiful experience that each one of us gets, which is called life. And we're blessed to have today and to have friends and to have common struggles. And I think that's one thing that I've learned along this journey, is that to struggle together is to grow together and to bond together. And I'll tell you that story with Jessica. We were both training for the Houston Marathon. That was this past January. And we both live in Colorado, and we belong to the same run club. When Jessica actually shows up, she doesn't have all her busy good stuff going on. But Jessica, we were both supposed to do our long run to prepare for this marathon. And Jessica did not have a guide and needed a guide. And we run at the same park, and I've ran so many times around that park. I was like, I can guide you, Jess. We'll just be careful and we'll help each other. So we agreed to do that. And as luck would have it, the night before we were supposed to go, there's a storm in Colorado and things freeze up and it's icy. And, me and Jessica are both like, well, let's go, 'cause we still got to do it. So we're out there in freezing cold weather. And I don't know, it had to be close to zero, as I recall. And the ground in parts was just, icy. There was snow, but there was ice underneath there. And, we both had some very close calls, and we were both nervous. And there were times when we both kind of were relying on the other person's eyes, but we did it together. And that was something where, it's just a constant reminder to me that, like, when you struggle together is when you really bond together. And that's a beautiful thing that I've found with, my sight loss. There is a community of people that can understand me and that particular part of my life. And it's really neat to be around those folks, not because you don't have to explain anything. You can just kind of really be yourself and you figure out how to continue doing life as opposed to having this thing define you. And there definitely were times, like, I'm not sure how each of your journeys was, but there was a time when my sight loss defined me, and that became very difficult because I feel like I really lost my identity. And the fact is, it's just a characteristic of who I am. Like, I have brown hair, or I'm 5'7", or I like to wear flip-flops. And another piece of that is that I'm, losing my eyesight and legally blind and don't drive. And when I got to the point of understanding, it's just a characteristic of who I am, I became a lot, sorry for that background noise. I'm sitting right in I'm in an airport. Hopefully it will be done soon. But I'll keep going on. But when I realized that it wasn't a defining characteristic of who I am, and I did not let it overcome me, was when I really continued to live, a very healthy and positive life. And the fact is, what I've understood is that my sight loss, I always considered it to be a curse, and I don't see it that way anymore. Sometimes your greatest curse in life can also be your greatest blessing. And me, I always do try to be an eternal optimist, but the fact is, sometimes I can't always look at it as being the great blessing, but most days it is. I mean, today, yesterday I flew to Lansing, Michigan. I met 100 people who I never otherwise would have met. I had great conversations. I've learned about people's lives. I've shared with them. They've shared with me. And I have a whole new network of friends. And that's all because of the fact that I have this eye thing. And the other thing that it is truly a fact is that I've been able to really just be myself and be vulnerable. And, that's a big journey. It's, having something that you didn't ask for, like Leber's or retinitis pigmentosa or whatever other struggle we may have, it definitely builds character. And when you're able to be, truly authentic with that, and I struggled for a long time. It used to be a real button for me when somebody would ask. I mean, I used to get angry and sad and all kinds of different emotions that I didn't really understand. And I went to years of psychotherapy, thank goodness, And mental health is a real thing, and it's a real struggle, and it's a real part of this. And you know, we don't do this journey alone. So that I encourage everybody, and I think that's part of all of our journeys, because when you're dealing with this, there's a big mental health component to it, and it doesn't end. You're never finished with that, I don't think. But it's something to continue to make sure that you have your coping skills, your toolkit, that type of thing. So that's kind of been like my sight loss thing. The part that I kind of like about myself is I love to run. So what I like to do is like I run these 100-mile races, and I run through deserts. I've ran through Death Valley. There's a race called Badwater. It's 135 miles in Death Valley in July. It's like 120 degrees. You know, just anything to make you suffer. I ran across Puerto Rico one time. That's 183 miles from east to west. I ran across Greece from Athens to Sparta. That's like 153 miles. And I just love to run. And, that's kind of been my real groove. And that's been a real coping skill that I discovered in like 2007. So I was kind of later in my life. I was 37 when I discovered running, and I'm 54 now. And it's become a real great mechanism for me. And what I've found is like when I have my toughest times, I'm running because it's a good coping mechanism. And when I have my greatest times and I'm celebrating, I'm running. So I'm kind of like always running. I have like high highs and low lows, and I don't live life too much like in that in-between zone. I like to think, I'm passionate about what I do. And when the bottom drops out, I feel that too, but I do what I have to do to climb back up and get up there again, before it goes down. But anyway, I've done a lot of individual talk, and I'd love to like, take some questions or interact, or I'm not sure what people are thinking or if this is adding value. So can I turn it over, Jess?
Yeah, for sure. No, thank you, Jason. Thank you so much. As always, I love hearing your story and have such tremendous respect for you and super thankful for our friendship. So thank you for being here. LH1 friends, what, any questions for Jason?
This is Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Can you hear
yep,
me?
I can hear. Hi, Chris. Yep.
Yep.
Well, I've been affected for 12 years and I've been on most of these phone calls. And this is one of the most inspirational calls we have ever had. So thank you for opening up your heart and mind and telling us your journey. I think you are an amazing man, and I thank you.
Oh, thanks, Chris. Tell me a little bit about your journey. You've been affected for 12 years. I mean, there's different stages of this. How are you feeling about life and about doing life?
I'm 76 years old. I was affected at age 64. I'm thankful that this happened to me late in life. I'm grateful that it didn't happen to me when I was young, as yourself. And my first year, I needed psychological help. I was in a deep, dark place and depressed. And I just decided after 1 year of feeling so horrible that I needed to feel happy again, and I did after 1 year, and I get frustrated now and then and get upset that I can't drive and things like that, but that's just all normal stuff, and I'm okay. Thank you for asking. But and my daughter became affected, and I have three siblings and two of them are affected. So it's in my, there's quite a few of it in my family, but I never give up hope. And I hope my grandson, I hope by the time he's an adult, I hope that I don't expect there to be a cure for myself, and that's okay. But I hope for the generations that follow, that I have hope in my heart that there will be cures or treatments for this and for you and your your future generations that there's I you have to have hope in your heart for that there's great science coming, you know?
And
never give
Chris,
up hope.
One thing you hit on that reminded me, and you're practicing it, it is that we don't go through this. We don't do life alone, and we don't go through anything difficult alone. It's the tough times when we have to pull together to do things. Like, that's how organizations work. That's how everything works. And one thing that I learned with my eye disease, and this was probably only about 5 years ago, I was in a down place again, and I was like, you know, I'm 50 years old, and I'm having these changes, because mine changes throughout my life. It's not like one big change. It just like gradually changed, but changed for everybody. But my thing was, I have mentors for everything. I had mentors when I was a lawyer, mentors when I was in business world, mentors for running. I was like, why not have a mentor for going blind or living with vision loss? So what I did is I went out and I found a couple people that were like 10 years further along in their sight loss journey than I was. And I asked them to be my mentor for going blind. And I built, you know, some really tremendous friendships, but also their resources and their go-to people. I mean, you know, the way symptoms present, some are similar, some are not so similar, but a lot of the way that they impact you, like loss of driving, or, you know, the things that you would think would be so simple. A grocery store now is overwhelming. You know, I remember the day, you know, it was like night and day from when Walmart was no problem to like, oh my God, that is like, you know, hell. You know, I don't want to be there. It's just too much. You know, the flickering lights, the people, the chaos, and I can't see, and I can't see the prices. And, you know, it just became overwhelming, something that I never, you know, never I could have remotely believed could have been. But it's we don't go through it alone. And, you know, what's really interesting about your story is that, you know, you seem kind of like a matriarch in your family for different people who ended up becoming affected, in your ability, one, to get through the mental health piece and to continue to work through that. I mean, you took a big dip, but then you continue to work through that, because it doesn't just magically go away after a year. It will come back. But your example of how to go and get professional help and work through that in a healthy way to help, you know, the next generation go, that's, you know, I give you great kudos, Chris, because you really are a pioneer in your family, and that takes a lot of courage. And I thank you for sharing, because you're giving me inspiration.
Oh, well, this was a terrific phone call. I'm so glad you shared your story with us. It was really terrific. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Paul. Anyone, who else?
Hi, it's Megan from Jersey. Oh, go ahead. No, go ahead.
This is Paul. I just wanted to make sure you're aware of something. You can still be a lawyer when you're affected this way also. I went to get a C&I dog up in northern Jersey. I was in school for the C&I dogs. They had five different lawyers that were in the school with me. In fact, two of them are in New York City, where you ran to from California. So I don't think that should stop your career if you really want to be a lawyer. So.
Yeah, I don't want to be a lawyer. No way.
Well, to be honest with you, I would never want to be a lawyer to start with, but that's a different point of view.
I love where I'm at and what I do, and I love speaking with groups and traveling around. And frankly, it was kind of an interesting thing, because I felt like I had to reinvent myself. And, you know, where I ended up being perfect for me. And it works good for me. But I agree. I know several lawyers who are blind, judges who are blind, people who are in the business world who are blind. That's just not my groove to say, but that was my passion. I'm sure that's where I'd be. But I love what you're saying is basically, you know, you can do anything. You just got to do it different. Thanks, Cole.
Go ahead, Megan.
This is Megan from New Jersey. I just wanted to say thank you so, 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 so much, because this was very, very real. And I know that, or I'm hoping that all of us could really connect with the highs and lows or the troughs that you mentioned, and that how we're not going through this alone. You know, we're going through this with family and friends. And I don't know how many times I've reached out to Maria and Jessica and said, hey, I'm just having a day. Can you just listen to me? And that is so powerful. And I also really, really loved talking to somebody else with a different type of disorder than LHON. I know RP is, you know, affects the vision so differently, but it's really great to hear that between you and Jessica, you could say, hey, it's different, but it's also super similar. So thanks again. It was really great listening to you, and thanks for telling your story.
Thanks, Megan. I actually land in Newark here in about another few hours. So I'll be in be in the Garden State soon.
Enjoy.
I will. And you know, so that's I think a sentiment that we have here, which runs rampant with folks. And I'm so, I don't know, bad or unkempt, but I've gotten to the point where, you know, I just got to call it like it is. And I've been in the dump, and it's okay to be in the dump. And that's a real part of it, because when I was in denial for those 30 years, I pretended for 30 years like I was okay. And what I realized was I had so much anxiety, and I was so messed up, and I was acting like I was put together just fine. But what I realized was I was making myself uncomfortable so other people would not have to be uncomfortable with my eyesight or with my eye issue. That's what I thought anyway. What I realized when I came out of the closet, I started telling people that, you know, I couldn't see. I mean, even right now, like my past employers hire me out to go back and talk to the workforce that I used to work with. And they're like, I never knew you couldn't see. I was like, I know. I never told you. I hid it. I was like, but I can't, I don't even know what you look like. Like, I couldn't see you. And that's a real important, I think, is to really be true to yourself and to accept yourself as who you are. And that's one thing I did learn in that journey, in that run across the U.S. And it took me 1500 miles, you know, a month of running 50 miles a day. And that was basically to be able to accept myself for the person that I am and the person that I am not. And just to be okay with that and to sit with myself and to love myself. And that's a journey. I don't think that matters whether you have sight loss or you've lost limbs or you're a billionaire, zillionaire. I mean, you know, people who supposedly have it great have a lot of issues too. But, you know, to learn to love yourself is a real, you know, that's the real journey. And then to love others and serve others. You know, if you can get to that in life, you've lived a really wonderful life. And these types of circumstances, you know, it brings up that self-love question, you know, very front and center. And, you know, I thought I was broken when I had this, but this isn't something that I asked for. This isn't something, you know, it was just, this was the hand that I was dealt. So I play it, and it doesn't make me broken. It makes my journey, to me anyway, you know, that much more fun, because I have to be that much more creative to try to figure out how to do this. I'm trying to learn how to play the piano. I can't get a teacher to teach me how, because I can't read sheet music. And I'm figuring it out, you know, on my own. And you know, I'm sitting at an airport right now in Detroit, and some guy's on the piano. Once he gets off the piano, I'm going to go get on there and bang on some keys and play chopsticks. But, you know, it's been a blessing to me in life, because I got to tell you, without it, my life would not be as exciting or as fun as I think it is. You know, it would be a little bit more mundane. And I don't know, you know, maybe it's not for everybody, but I really, you know, enjoy it. I don't like it sometimes, but, you know, it's made me the person I am today. And I got to tell you, some people have asked me too. They're like, if you could change your life and you could go back and cure your eyesight, would you? And my answer always is, I wouldn't change a thing in my life, because I love the person I am today and where I'm at today. And, you know, that wasn't always the answer in my life, but that definitely is the answer today. And I feel like I've grown as a result of this challenge. And I hope that's each of your journeys too. And I know it's each of your journeys because you can't help but grow. And each of you are on this call, so you're growing. So I'm just happy. Thank you guys for allowing me into your group and to share with you.
Any other questions for Jason or comments before he heads off to go bang out some peace?
It's Lisa from Canada. I just want to say you are truly an inspiration. I really enjoyed listening to your talk and it's a long journey for sure, and there's lots of struggles, ups and downs all throughout, and I'm 21 years, almost 21 years into it, and I have good days and bad days still, but I really appreciate you sharing what you did, and thank you for being a part of our LH1 group tonight.
Thanks, Lisa.
Hey, Jason, it's Eugene over in California.
Hey, Eugene.
Hey, so glad to hear from you. So glad to hear from you.
Eugene, I know you.
I'll give you a call sometime. But thanks. I'm surprised that you were here, so I'm glad I called in.
Right on. Thanks, Eugene. I can't wait to catch up.
Hi, this is Suzanne from Minnesota. I'm an avid runner as well. Things have changed a bit. I was diagnosed 2 months ago, so I've been on pretty high highs, and last week was a pretty low week. I did reach out to Mariah as well, and hearing your story has just set my soul on fire. Thank you for everything.
Keep at it, Suzanne. Keep at it. And Jessica, I'd love to just, if you can just share my information with everybody, like my phone number, and I just put it out there to anybody. Like, I'm always a listening ear, and I love to learn from people, and I just love people. So if you're having a good day or bad day or a whatever, or something's happening in life, and you just want to talk to somebody, I'm always here. Like, that's what I'm here for.
People say that all the time, but he actually means it. I call him pretty often, right, Jason? Like once a week, I'm like, all right, let's talk about something. Let's get a pep talk. But yeah, so great.
Yeah.
Well, Jason, thank you so much for joining our LH1 family tonight. We're so glad you're here. I love that I get the opportunity to share how awesome you are to the whole community that I get to spend once a month with. So thank you so much for being here. Thanks for even hanging out with us on your layover. And safe travels back home, and congrats on the engagement.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. But
thank
I appreciate
Jason.
You guys. You are welcome. You're welcome. I'm going to jump off your guys' call. You guys carry on and just to share my info. And I hope to connect with you guys again.
Absolutely. Will do.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jason. All right. Awesome. That was so awesome. So great. But love to take this time now that Jason's hopped off. We do have a couple of minutes. I want to stay recorded to see if anyone else has any other questions or anything, any other topics to bring up before we turn off the recording.
Jessica, you did a great job there having him speak to us.
Oh, thank you. He is a wonderful friend that I've met living here in Colorado. So it's been an absolute blast getting to know him. And so, when you meet great people, you share, right? All right. Well, I'm going to jump in and kind of share the calls that are coming up for May still ahead. So next call up is Navigating Education, and that call is on Thursday, May 9th at 5 p.m. Pacific. Next call after that is Moms of LH1 Affected Kids, and that's kids of all ages, and that's on Wednesday, May 15th at 5 p.m. Pacific. Next call is LH1 Pacific Northwest, and that is on Thursday, May 16th at 7 p.m. Pacific, Please note that's a different time than we typically do, so just a heads up on that one. Next call is Navigating Employment, and that is on Wednesday, May 22nd at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, obviously. And next call in, this is a new call, so just a heads up, this is a new one we're trying out and want to see everyone's opinion on this one, but we're excited. And it is Parenting with LHON. And that call is on Tuesday, May 28th at 5 p.m. Pacific. So brand new call there. And that is a wrap for May. So really looking forward to it. All of these are fantastic calls coming ahead, whether the regional or affinity groups, and then obviously our new call. But we really look forward to seeing you all in May on these various calls. And as always, it is the same link and phone number that got you here today. So definitely recommend saving this as a one-click number or jump in on Zoom link to join us. So that works great. And Lisa, actually my Zoom app is frozen. Do you mind turning off our recording for us?
Let me see if I can do that. Let's see. Yeah, I'll do it right now.
Awesome, thank you.